Thank you. Again, we come to our studies on the life of faith, and we've been dealing with this man, Abram. We found that Abram was called the father of those who believe. He was found faithful in his heart before God. He was obedient to God's voice. And when God looked for a family through whom his son should come, he chose this man, Abram. And you remember, he was called the friend of God in Isaiah 41, verse 8. And then we were discussing the conditions under which God called him. I shall not repeat that. If you want to go further into it again, I would suggest Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 on, where you have God gave men up to uncleanness, to vile affections, and to a reprobate mind, and out of this came the God of glory called Abram to get out, and he got out. Now, when we come down to the first test of Abram, and I'm going down to the book of Genesis chapter 12, where we have the first test of Abram's faith, and this has to do with the ties of nature. I call this the fervency of faith, or the fervor of faith. Is your faith fervent enough when it comes to the ties of nature? For God said to him in chapter 12 of Genesis, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And Abram departed, as the Lord spake unto him. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. And Abram was 75 years of age when he departed out of Haran. I'm going to stop here for a moment. Here is the question of the call. And Abram went out not knowing whether he went. The God of glory appeared unto him and said, "Get out." You know, it's an amazing thing if I were to follow this through. He's called the God of glory. He's called the King of glory. He's called the Prince of glory. For example, in Psalm 24, "Open up ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in." In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, our Lord is called the Prince of glory. And then, when you come to the 22nd Psalm, 29th Psalm, he's called the God of glory. Now, this is the first time since Genesis chapter 3 that God comes along and really deals with a man. He dealt with Adam as a race. Now he's going to deal with Abram as a nation. In chapter 11 of Genesis, God deals in judgment when he scattered the nations among the face of the earth, when he confounded their language and scattered them in chapters 11 and the beginning of chapter 11. But when you come to chapter 12, God begins to deal in grace. The depravity of man being fully established, he now reveals sovereign grace. Now the test is, in these first three verses, the test is, will you leave your family, your country, your kindred, your father's house, and go into a land that I will show you? Now, with the test, of course, God gives a promise. I will bless them that bless thee, I will make you a great nation, and so on. The fact is, my friend, the very first step in a walk with God, separation. Now, we don't like that word, separation. In chapter 10 and 11 of Genesis, separation was a judgment from God to man. Man said, "We're not going to separate and go out and replenish the earth. We're going to stay right where we are." And God scattered them in judgment. And none of us like separation. But when he separates us unto God himself, that's something else. God wanted Abram for himself. And if you follow through, if you follow through in this question of Abram, every test brings out the question of separation. I repeat it again, the very first step in a walk with God is separation. He wants us to live a life of trusting Him, to trust Him each step of the way. Leave your land, I'll show you a land. Where? How? What kind? I don't know. But God has spoken. If you had asked Abram, where are you going? I don't know. How are you going to go? Best way I know how. What kind of a land is it you're going to? I don't know. You don't know? No. God has just told me to get out. He's going to show me a land. And I'm trusting God to show me. And yet I say again, with the call, there comes a promise. I'll give you a land. I'll make your name great. I'll bless you. And when we are blessed of God, we become a blessing. You know, I'd like to repeat that little statement to you. When you and I are blessed of God, we become a blessing to others. If we are not blessed of God, the chances are we're not much of a blessing to anybody else. Is it not then important that you and I should walk with God and be blessed of God? I wonder if this was in the mind of our Savior in John chapter 15, verse 9, when He said, "My joy I give unto you, that your joy might be full." And you know, when a person is full of joy and blessing, he generally comes along and becomes a blessing to somebody else. How much of the Lord's joy do you have? How much do I have? Are we going around like with solemn religious faces and we drive people away from us? And I'm sorry to say many a young person has been hindered from coming to Christ because of the lack of joy in the lives of God's people. Even though our circumstances may be hard, there can be a real settled peace and a real joy. Step by step, walking with Him. We should sing that, you know. Step by step, I'll walk with Jesus. And when you do, you're blessed of God. Then you become a blessing. Now notice that this man Abram was obedient. So Abram departed. Verse 4, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and he was 75 years of age when he left. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Let me just stop here for a moment. Now, someone's going to ask, why did they leave Haran? Well, in the preceding chapter, chapter 11, you have where Terah, the father of Abram, took Abram and Lot, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and so on, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran, which is away north of Ur, and they dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and he died. Haran never did get to the land. The promise was not to Haran. The promise was to Abram. Now, I do not know whether, when God appeared unto Abram, that Abram talked to his father. And they decided to go together. He took Abram, took his father, and took Lot, his nephew, with him. Be that as it may, the promise was to Abram, not to Terah. Terah was still an idolater. And this man Abram was leaving this place of idolatry to go into a land that God would show him. And God didn't show him the land until Terah, his father, was dead. And so he went into the land, not knowing whether he went. You know, it's a funny thing about us people. We want to know where we're going. We want to know how we're going. We want to know all the detail before we ever start. But Abram went out, he obeyed. And why not? When the God of glory speaks, it's for us to move. So, faith in God brings confidence and obedience. Notice the I wills. God says, I will show you. I will give to you. I will, I will, I will. One step leads to the next step. And by the way, one step at a time is good walking. So they came into the land of Canaan at 75 years of age, and Sarah would be 65. And they passed through Shechem and to the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. That's verse 6. The Canaanite was then in the land. The trafficker, the idolater, the corrupter was still in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel, the house of God, on the west, and Ai, a heap of ruin, on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now I want to stop here for a moment or two. Did you notice? He came into the land, and God said, this is the land I'm going to give to your children. Now in the first verse of chapter 12, he said, I'm going to show you a land. And when he got into the land, God said, I'm going to give it to your children. You see, again I say, one step at a time is good walking. When you and I walk in the light of the truth God gives to us, then he gives us further truth. But if we do not walk in the light that he's given to us, then no more truth is revealed to us in our hearts and lives. So he appeared into the land, he came into the land of Canaan, and now he's got a promise, I'm going to give this land. But who's living in the land? The Canaanites. And later on you find the Hittites, these great nations, the Amorites and the Hittites were two of the greatest nations of the ancient world. And they were in the land, they occupied the land. But that didn't alter the promise of God. Abram, I'm going to give this land to your seed, to your children. And he believed God, because I read that he took and he pitched his tent and he built his altar. Now, I want to suggest something to you on this. Notice when he's in fellowship with God, he builded his altar. Now, the altar speaks of worship and fellowship. And this is going to be a continual testimony to the Canaanites and the Perizzites who were around him. There he builded an altar. Now remember, the neighboring tribes around him were worshiping idols. They were in moral corruption. And the Lord sends Abram in the midst of this thing. And what did he do? He builded an altar. He's going to worship his God, the God of glory. He doesn't know much about God yet, but he knew enough that when God says, get out, he got out. He knew enough that when God says, I'm going to give it to your seed, he believed him, and he builded his altar there. See, that meant he's going to stay there. That meant he's going to worship God there. That meant he's going to walk with God in the midst of an idolatrous company of people around him. Have you built your altar? And wherever Abram moved, he built his altar. These warlike, corrupt, idolatrous tribes, they knew that Abram was not worshiping their gods. He had no god to worship in the sense of an idol. He built an altar. Sacrificed on an altar. Not to an idol, but to the God of glory. To the eternal living God. Say, do you have an altar? Not in your tribe, but in your home. You're a Christian in your home. Do you have an altar there? Does your family know that you really love the Savior? Do your neighbors know that you really worship the living God? They did with Abram. We're going to find that later on in the different chapters, where they acknowledge the God of Abram. And the second thing was, he pitched his tent. Now the tent speaks of his pilgrim character, as you can find it in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 to 10, that Abram, Isaac, and Jacob lived in tents, signifying they didn't belong here. Have you pitched your tent? Are you a pilgrim? You remember we had that in the 13th verse of the 11th chapter, they confessed there were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They confessed that didn't belong down here. Friend, whether you like it or no, if you really love the Savior, you don't belong here. We're down here as pilgrims and strangers. Now, that doesn't mean that I should live in a vacuum. That doesn't mean I can't have any friends. How are you going to reach the unsaved if you're not friendly with them? Oh, no. I may not partake of their sin. I don't believe that Abraham partook of their idolatry or their moral corruption. He stood in the very midst of it with his altar. His God was different. And he lived in a tent, not in houses, signifying he wasn't staying here. He was only a pilgrim. And I want you to mark something else. Now think of this. Whenever Abram is out of fellowship with God, when Abraham is not in the place where God wants him, you do not read of an altar, and you do not read of a tent. In other words, when Abram was out of fellowship with God, you mean tell me Abram at times was out of fellowship with God? Yes. Yes, we're going to see that. And when he's out of fellowship with God, there's no altar. There's no fellowship with God. And there's no mention made of a tent. You find the very rest of the chapter, he went on to Egypt. There are no tents in Egypt. There are no altars to God in Egypt. They're idolatrous. He lost his testimony. Fellowship was broken. He got out of the will of God. Friend, is your faith in Christ fervent enough for you to be obedient to the Lord? And is your life evidenced by a life of worship and fellowship with God? Do you walk with God? Are you a friend of God? Is God your friend? You say he's more. He's my Savior. I'm a child of God. He's my Father. Yes, all the more reason for me to ask the question, how much fellowship do you have with your Father, with your Savior, with your Lord? And I think when I read here the life of Abram and I see this question of an altar and a tent, I realize there's something important about it. For when he's in fellowship with God, you have the tent and you have the altar. Out of fellowship, out of the will of God, no mention of a tent, no mention of an altar. And when you and I are out of fellowship with God, it affects our worship, it affects our testimony. Is your faith fervent enough to live a life of separation unto God so that your life will become a benediction to those around you? For we're going to find with this man Abram, as he walked with God, these nations around, these warlike, idolatrous nations, they recognize not only his God, but they recognize that he was a powerful God. And they recognize that this man Abram was different. Are you different? Am I different in my life before men? Are you different? Is there a difference between you and your unsaved neighbors? Do they recognize that you belong to God? Say, well, they call me religious. I know that. I'm living in the same kind of a world you are. In fact, they say you're a preacher. A boy who wants dealings with a preacher. The very fact that you walk with God and seek to please God. I'll tell you this. When they get into trouble, they know where to come. I found that out down through many, many years, even before I went out preaching the gospel in the machine shops. I found out when fellows might oppose you and ridicule you and talk about you being a deacon or religious, believe me, when they get into trouble, they know whom they can trust. They know where they can go. Oh, that we might have that fervency of faith when God says, get out. And remember, the first step in a walk with God is separation unto God. God grant that you and I will have a faith fervent enough to walk with God in the midst of any circumstance.